Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. Look with me, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up, the mighty men. Let all of the men of war draw near. Let them come up. I love that one line. Wake up, the mighty men. Wake them up. 90% of the men in the United States say that they believe in God. 90%. 5 out of 6 refer to themselves as Christians. But actually, only 35% of the men in the United States go to church on a regular basis with their wives. That means that only 1 out of 5 women has their husband with them in church on an average Sunday in America. There's a disconnect between men and church. And what's amazing is this is not true in other religions. Men outnumber women in the Buddhist religion. Men outnumber women in the Hindu religion. Men greatly outnumber women in the Islamic faith. Only in the Christian faith do women outnumber men in the church. What's going on? There is an absence of men in the church, real men. Somehow there's a disconnect between men and wanting to be in church. Why is that? What's going on? Is that how it was in Jesus' day in the first century church? Something is happening with the men. I want to talk about it. Where are the risk takers? Where are the men? And I'm not talking about some narrow view of masculinity and, you know, that you got to be rough and tough to be a man. I was thinking about Jacob and Esau. They were twins. The Bible said that Jacob was, he was a cooker. He liked to cook in the kitchen. And his brother Esau was a hunter. His brother Esau was hairy, and the Bible says of Jacob, he was smooth skin. And God used them both greatly. I'm not talking about a style. One would have been on Outdoor magazine. Esau was a kind of a redneck hunter, all of that. The other would have been on GQ magazine, and it's all right. God made us all different. We don't all like the same stuff. Not every man likes sports. Not every man likes this or likes that. Not every man's into the arts. God's a big God. Amen. But all men should be connected to the church. Most men in the Bible wouldn't fit in the church today. Moses and Elisha, think about it. Moses, if you're going to be pastor of the church, we want to interview you. Tell us about your past. I killed a man and buried him in the sand, and his toes stuck out, and I got in trouble and had to run, and I became a farmer for 40 years in the wilderness, and then I became a pastor. It's a man. What about Elijah? Have you ever read about Elijah? He wasn't sitting in a corner wondering why his mother didn't breastfeed him. He wasn't that kind of a man. You mess with Elijah, he called down fire from heaven and you were burned up. What about the mighty men of David? The Bible said he had 300 mighty men, and 3 of the mightiest out of the 300, they were so mean, one of them killed 1,000 men by himself. When they would spit, the grass would die. These were men's men, mighty men. What about Peter? Peter was packing a blade. And when they came to arrest Jesus, he pulled out his blade and pulled a Mike Tyson, cut the guy's ear off. And Jesus turned to him and said, "Why did you do that? Why?" because you're my dog, and that's how I roll, and you don't mess with my friends. These are the kind of guys that were in the Bible. But you look at the pictures of the apostles, and little bony David, and looking a little sideways, Apostle Paul, and Jesus. What about Jesus? Some of the paintings of Jesus, little meek and mild Jesus. I don't know about that. Jesus wants you to be a man. Thank God for men. It's okay to be. The first century church was a magnet to men. Jesus' ministry was a magnet to men. So much so that when they had a meeting, they didn't count. This is not to demise or demean the role of women or limit it in any way, or children, but they didn't even count the women and children. Jesus said, judge my ministry by how many men I'm attracting. And that's why when he fed the 5,000, the Bible said there were 5,000 men, and as a subnote, women and children besides. 3,000 men were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, I'm going to find 12 men and I'm going to take over the world. And when he chose them, he didn't pick religious men. He picked farmers and fishermen that had B.O. and cussed a lot. He regular guys that are real men. They were attracted like a magnet to Jesus's ministry. They got into it. These men got into it. The Bible said that Paul and Peter got in such a fight. The scripture uses this. You know, real men, we hang around each other long enough, we're going to get into it. We play basketball or something, somebody's going to get into it. It's just how it is. Okay, the holy men are all in the conference, but real men get on each other. You know, Paul said, I withstood Peter to his face. And there was no small contention. Can you imagine walking into church one Sunday and see the pastor and the assistant pastor get up in each other's grill? I'll bust you. Step outside. Step outside, jerk. Come on, make a move. These were real guys. I'm in the Bible. Come on, say he's in the Bible. Men, Jesus and the New Testament church were not afraid of structure. Men are attracted to commitment. That's why they join the military in record numbers. It's structure, it's commitment, it's discipline. But we preach a little weak gospel, and men like it straight. And men know when they hear the truth or when somebody's up there faking it. Church has become basically a chick flick for men. I'm going because my wife wants me to go. I don't want to be here. I'm going to endure it, and thank God as soon as it's over, whoo. It's kind of like going in a lingerie store for a man, especially a preacher. Most men don't like to sing a lot. They come to church. They can't sing. Sound like a frog. And then church, after you sing, they'll say, while we sing this last number, reach over and take the person's hand beside you. Now, see, women don't understand this, but men just don't like that. There's something wrong with that. When we're holding another man's hand, it's hard to think about the Lord. It's like, hold hands and sing. This is really interesting historically, and I promise I'm going somewhere. But this is really interesting historically. In the Middle Ages, there was it's a totally biblical doctrine called bridal mysticism, in which the church began to learn about the feminine qualities of the body of Christ. It's a totally biblical teaching. You know, that we are the bride of Christ. That was the first time that message. So men, not only do you sing and hold hands with other guys, you are the bride of Christ. Now men are starting to disconnect just a little bit. And then the Catholic Church begins to introduce the worship of Mary, praying to Mary, a feminine deity. This is all historical fact. And then on top of that, if you reach the apex of being spiritual, you can become a priest. And priests are genderless, basically. Priests are not allowed to marry. You are to get so spiritual that you don't want or like or attracted to women anymore. I'm not putting down any religion. I'm just saying this is a historical fact. And men are like, I don't want to be that spiritual. I'm good like I am. They started disconnecting from, man, y'all better back me up. They started disconnecting from the church. Something began to happen. The message of the church, instead of a message of risk and adventure and victory and conquering and kingdom, that's masculine words. It became safety and security. The word sanctuary actually is the word from which is derived the word security. Security, safety, and that's part of the body, the message of the body of Christ, safety and security, but we lost the message of risk and adventure. Listen to how Jesus taught. Who wants to be great? Who will be greatest among you? Men, lean in when you start talking about greatness and adventure and victory and success and vision, and don't you? He said, if you want to be great, here's what you do. You become a servant. Genesis 12, he told Abraham, I will make you great and make you a great name. Give you a great name. That's something in men. When I hear stuff like that, I like that. I can't help it. It's wired in me. I like that. I want to be great. I'm made in the image of God. Well, I don't know about that. We've robbed men of the desire to be great. We've got the bar so high that if you get saved next week, you join a Bible study and you should be the leader of a small group. You should give up sports. You should quit hunting. And you should also buy, oh my God, you need to forget the vacation, the cruise we were going to go on. Forget that. We're going on a prophecy conference. And we're going to learn about the seven beasts of the book of Revelation. And you should have married the Pope. Jesus said there's none greater than John the Baptist. In other words, he was keeping track. There's some average, there's some... He was presenting a concept of greatness. He said, if you're faithful while you're here, listen to the language of Jesus and why it attracted men. I'll make you ruler over cities and nations one day in my kingdom. Doesn't that attract you, men? I'll make you ruler with a rod of iron. I like that. Y'all are looking at me partly cloudy, but I'm going to keep preaching. God designed church to attract the men. Then on top of that, we tell, and by the way, P.S., if you get to heaven, what are you going to do for all eternity? Sit on a cloud in a white robe. Have you ever been to the spa? As a man, I don't like those robes. I'm waiting in that little room with Charisse, and I don't know what to do with my legs. It feels like it's a little too exposed down there. I keep working on that robe. But can you imagine for all eternity sitting on a cloudy little cloud in a white robe, and here comes a fat angel baby with wings and a heart. And if you stay there and sing and praise long enough, some other man will float over and probably hold your hand around the throne. Oh, and by the way, no sex in heaven. Of course, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that. I'm going somewhere. I promise. Relax. I promise. Listen to Jesus' language. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. Faith equals guts. Faith equals guts. Faith says, get out of that boat and walk on the water. Faith says, run at your Goliath and kill him with a rock. Faith equals guts, and that's a message men need. Let's clap for all the men just a minute. It's a miracle. They weren't going to come. Three times they tried to back out, but here they are. Would you give him a hand? I know he ain't Brad Pitt, but you're not Jolina either. So give him a big hand and say, thank God, baby, you came with me. You had 100 reasons to get out of coming, but you won the moment you said, I'm going. I want to say it loud and clear. We need you, men. Your wife needs you. Your family needs you. Here's why it's so important that you follow Jesus closely, because boys follow men. Well, how do I do it? How do I do it? I've been reading this book called Act Like Men. It's really got a hold of my heart. And it comes from the main scriptures, 1 Corinthians 16:13. I'm going to give you a real quick pattern of how to be a mighty man. Be watchful. This is an amazing scripture. Stand firm in the faith. Everybody say the next three words. Act like men. Be strong. And then the next verse says, let all that you do be done in love. Those three words, act like men. What does that mean? God says, the thing that I need out of every man under the sound of my voice and streaming live, the thing that I need from you more than anything else is that you would act like a man. That you would step up every day and do what a man is supposed to do who loves God. Act like a man. Be a mighty man. And act like a man. What does that mean? I'll give you three things that it does not mean. Number one, it does not mean act like a woman. And I'm not, this is not a bad thing. What do you mean by that? In other words, don't follow, lead. If you're going to be a mighty man, you've got to learn to act like a man. And the way you act like a man is you don't follow, you lead. God has given a man a role, a responsibility, an accountability. It's your house. It's your marriage. It's your children. It's your family. It's on you more than anybody else in that household. Act like a man, not like a woman. Don't follow, lead. That's your job. Men lead. My family's here. It needs to be here. My marriage is here and we're struggling, but it needs to be here. But I don't follow, I lead. I act like a man. I'm going to do what I've got to do. God, give me the grace. Touch my heart in this conference. I'm here. Help me to act like a man, be a mighty man, and not follow, but lead. That's your job, to lead. It's my job. Are you leading your family? What does that mean? It doesn't just mean don't follow, lead, but it also means, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, that men are to dwell with their wives in an understanding way. Listen to this, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. The second thing it means to act like a man, or doesn't mean, is don't be the weaker vessel. The Bible said that she is the weaker vessel. That, and again, is no way to demise or demean the role of the women. You say, you don't know my wife. No, he's talking about physically, we are, listen to this, emotionally, mentally, you're to act like a man, spiritually, and you're not to be the weaker vessel. You're not to be the weaker vessel. Your prayer life is not to be the weaker vessel. Your consecration to God's house is not to be the, act like a man. You got children. You got a family. You got all kinds of responsibility. Act like a man. And don't be the weaker vessel. Get it together, guys. You know, what does that mean? Don't be the weaker vessel. Sharice and I have gone to movies before, and we knew we were rolling the dice. We, you know, it had something that we hope that interests us, but we went, and then you get there and they start insulting everything you stand for and believe for. Well, don't be the weaker vessel and let her speak up. Say, we need to leave. You be the man. You act like a man. And you say, we're getting out of here. That's ridiculous. We're going to go get our money back. You act like the man and let the family see you say, that TV needs to be turned. Don't sit there and wait on the wife to walk through and say, why are you watching Victoria's Secret fashion show, honey? Act like a man. You initiate prayer. You make sure the kids are in church. That's your responsibility. Act like a man. Don't be the weaker vessel. You make sure they're signed up for church camp. You make sure things are being taken care of. Step up and act like a man. Not only does it mean don't follow lead, don't be the weaker vessel, but lastly, it means lose the drama. Don't be a drama queen. To act like a man, to be a mighty man, is to not be a drama queen. Oh yeah, men can be a drama queen. Conflict in the family, and everybody knows they got to walk on pins and needles because you are there. Tone it down. Act like a man. Men don't scream and rant and rave, and everybody has to walk on pins and needles around them. Act like a man. Get full of the Holy Spirit. Let Him help you take control of your anger. I don't care how successful you are, you don't have a right to be unkind. To be holy is to be kind. If you're not holy, you're not kind. If you're not kind, you're not holy. Turn to somebody around you and say, act like a man. Go ahead, you've been wanting to say it this whole trip. Just let it rip. Tell him I need a mighty man. I want to tell you what else it's not. To act like a man is not to act like a woman. Number two, to act like a man is not to act like an animal. There are 275 times the Bible uses the word beast. Titus 1 in verse 2 says that there were men who were liars and like evil beasts. David said when he committed adultery, I was like a beast before you, God. Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with evil spirits that he acted like an animal, the Bible said. Running through the forest, he became like an animal, like a beast. To act like a man is to not act like an animal. What does that mean? Animals only care for their own desires. You think you got an animal tamed, but you can't tame an animal. They want their own desires. I was thinking about this. If you're like an animal as a man, it's my food. It's my chair. It's my sex. It's my needs. It's my appetites. It's me, 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 my. It's all about my desires. You're not a man, you're an animal. An animal has no manners. Sitting up in the bed, clipping your toenails, wanting to get intimate with your wife, it ain't gonna happen. That's not a locker room, that's your bedroom. Take care of it. Act like a man, not an animal. You walk in with your wife and some other female dogs go by. You know what they do? An animal will start sniffing and leave the one he's with. And I tell you, there's nothing worse than a man who's with his wife and his children and somebody walk by and they can't even control themselves. Act like a man. She sees it and she's going to remember it that night when you want to get cozy. Don't let the look voice get bigger than the don't look voice. I'm telling you, you get full of the Holy Spirit and He will convict you about stuff like that. He'll say, now you just look straight ahead, don't look to the left nor the right. You hear me? That's what men do. The world says just look at anything, everything. Just fill your spirit and your eyes with porn on the internet. Just get everything and consume it. And you know what it's doing? It's turning you into an animal. You're losing the ability to be intimate and love your family and love and be connected to your mate. But it's all right. You're in the right place. The anointing is going to break that, and you're going to leave here a mighty man of God in Jesus' name. Somebody clap and believe for the anointing to break men free. We're not playing games here this week. Get some, don't act like an animal. Open the door for your wife. Open the car door. Get some manners. You see, a man opening the door to his car is either a new wife or a new car. Say thank you. Be kind. Get some manners. Here's another one. Animals growl and grunt. They don't talk. How was your day? One word is not communication. One word sentences. Did you talk to your mama? No. You call your brother? No. Communicate. Quit growling. You're not an animal. Talk. I'm almost done. I got a challenge. Well, you say we introduce our wives to the best 7 days of servanthood they have ever had starting today. Well, you say if every man says for the next 7 days, I'm going to serve you in incredible ways, you're not going to believe how wonderful. Sharice, I'm making a covenant. 7 days. Don't act like a woman. Act like a man. Don't act like an animal. Act like a man. What does act like men mean, lastly? It means don't act like a boy. You're not a boy anymore. Boys cry for their mommy. Boys want their mommy. Your wife is not your mama. Boys want to be taken care of. Boys want everything. You're not a boy, you're a man. 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became, notice there's a when of childhood. When I was a child, I thought like a child, acted like a child, played with childish things. But when, there's a second when, you need to catch your second when. Because some of you are stuck in protracted childhood. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. That's what little boys say. Men act like men. Men are the first. They say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Even if you weren't wrong, you were wrong if you're married. So just go on and admit it. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Got around with my buddies. It don't work like that no more. Your number one priority is your wife and your family. Nothing else. I put away childish things. You're young only once, but you can be immature for life. Thank you. All the women said. And the men are mad at me. They've deserted me. So can I close with three quick things? So I know what act like a man doesn't mean. Don't act like a woman. Don't act like an animal. Don't act like a boy. Be a man. Take responsibility. What does that mean? Well, that means this. Number one, 3 out of 4 of the descriptions of what it means to act like a man is military terms. Number one, he says, be watchful. Now look at me, all you men, please, and listen. Be watchful means to keep your eyes open, to pay attention. It means, and it has to do with Old Testament cities that were fortified, and the only way that the people inside the city could rest in peace at night is they knew they had watchmen on the walls. who were looking out for any impending danger, trying to get in and destroy their homes and families. And God says, I've called you, gentlemen. This is not playtime now. I'm telling you, I'm a pastor. Been married for 29 years, and Sharice and I will celebrate our 30th year anniversary this year. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Hold on just a moment. There has never been a time in all of my life that I have seen families under a duress and attack and distress and trouble. I have felt my own self, the weight of God as a father of 5 children and 2 grandchildren, the complexities of family, the hurts of family, at times the brokenness of family. I was riding in my car the other day, and I know it was the devil, but I just heard a voice that just said, just keep riding. So many things with children, so many things with family. You just feel like, God, I can't take it. I don't know what to do. This is ridiculous. How can this happen to my family, in my family? How can these things be going on? But here's what the Lord told me to tell you. Be watchful. Get up on the wall. Pay attention to your family. Pay attention to the media. Pay attention to the internet. Be watchmen. Go up in their rooms, and they can have privacy when they pay rent. But since they don't pay rent, there's no thing called privacy. I go on your computer. There are no codes on phones. You go in, and you are a watchman, and it's not your wife's responsibility. It's your responsibility. You've got to be a watchman for your house. What kind of music is in their beats? What are they listening to? What kind of language are they listening to? Be watchmen. What kind of friends do they have? The Bible says of Eli in the Old Testament that he raised 2 sons, and I cannot believe the wording. I looked it up again. It said that they were worthless sons. How would you like for the Bible to say concerning your children, you raised them and they were worthless sons? And the Bible tells why. It says of Eli, the preacher, the high priest, because he didn't restrain them. The word restrain means no measured efforts on his part to even resist the wickedness of his children. Wow. Dad, mom, be watchmen. And when your kids want to bring stuff in, you can't. If you don't restrain them, if there's no measured effort on your part to resist evil, it's coming. And the Bible said they were blaspheming God. What I'm saying to you is you have to be watchmen over your family and your house. You can't always be best friends with your children. And they need dads, they need men, they need boys follow men. And if men get it right, boys are gonna follow. Get off your phone. Get off your couch. Get out of your office. Be watchful. Act like a man. Secondly, are you watching? Secondly, stand firm in the faith. Look at it. Stand firm in the faith. Another translation, the Message Bible says, hold tight to your convictions. What you believe about the Word of God. What you believe about marriage, what you believe. In other words, don't let your theology gravitate toward your behavior. Don't start changing your theology because you have let down the standard and you've lost your convictions. But let the Word of God stand firm on your faith. Let the Word of God be that rock solid thing in a shifting culture that brings you and calls you back to repentance and calls you back to separation and calls you back to holiness and calls you back to purity and calls you back to a walk with God. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I didn't lose it. I kept it. Make a big move. Act like a man. If you can't handle the computer, if you can't handle your cell phone, if you can't handle things, make a big move. Make a hard call. Step up. Act like men. Lastly, let all that you do be done in love. For me as a father, this is huge, because I'm going to tell you what will happen to your family sooner or later. And those of you who've got young children, you think this will never be your lot, but just listen. There's a scripture that says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That simply means that when your children or your family is acting in a way that you totally disagree with and dishonors God, the wrath of man will not, in my family, produce the righteousness of God. If I scream, if I get angry, and oh, this is where the enemy, the accuser, will attack you, because when it's boy, girl, but the wrath of man, mom screaming, dad screaming, it's not going to produce righteousness. What's going to produce righteousness? The Message Bible says of that, let all that you do be done in love. The Message Bible says love without stopping. Love without stopping. Love without stopping. You're breaking my heart, but love without stopping. I've raised you different, but love without stopping. Oh my God, you don't understand what you're doing. You're making terrible choices, but love without stopping. Screaming, ranting, putting hands through sheetrock, fussing, cussing, it's not going to produce the righteousness of God. What will produce the righteousness of God? Love without stopping. And I say it to every marriage, every woman, every man. You may not like everything your husband is doing. You don't, I'm sure. You don't like everything your wife is doing. But God's word to you is love without stopping. Forgive again. Hold one another again. Say I'm sorry again. Try again. We're living in a time when the enemy wants to destroy our families. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is calling the men of this conference, and he's saying, wake up, the mighty men. Because Jesus understood, if I get the men, I get the family. We spend an enormous amount of money here on our children. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we love excellence in our children's ministry. And we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for our children's ministry. But Jesus understood that children rarely will win parents. But if you can win the man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I haven't done everything by far. Sometimes I feel like I'm a terrible husband, a terrible dad. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. But one thing I have held on to and grabbed hold of, and it's not my wife's deal, it's something in my heart for my whole family. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. Put your hands together. I want you to praise him like men and praise him like women. Like mighty men, like mighty women. Stand up on your feet and give God a great praise if you believe that he's for our families, he's for our marriages. I feel like out of meanness just to get you to reach over and hold somebody's hand, but I'm not going to do that. But I do want you to grab the hand of your husband or your wife or your fiance. And I want you for just a moment to lift those hands toward heaven, because on this first night, we're giving our marriages to God again. We're giving our homes love without stopping. Love without stopping. But you don't know what they did. You don't know how they, you don't understand. You just don't know. Yeah, I bet you I know more than you think I know. All I can tell you is love without stopping. But the man that I'm, you don't understand what's, there's been betrayal in our relationship. Love without stopping. If you'll give love a chance, God can heal. God can restore. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every man here. And I call every man here a mighty man. They don't see themselves as mighty, but you do. And Father, I pray right now that that scripture that I preached on will get in their spirit. And when challenge comes, and when trials come, and when hard times come, a verse will come up in their spirit. Act like men. Act like a man. Act like a man. Stand up to it. Fight for your family. Fight for your marriage. Stand up to the issues. Don't ever stop loving. Never stop loving. Don't quit loving. Be watchful. Father, I pray for miracles this week, that carnage and garbage would be taken out of the way, and that there would be connection again and love again, intimacy again, healing again. Strength in this marriage mightily, I pray. In Jesus' name. Now, can I do something? Can I say to every man under the sound of my voice that I've carried you in my heart for about 3 days and I prayed for you? And I believe it's God's will on this first night of this conference that there be a wake-up call for mighty men. And if there's a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 26 that says of Saul that there was a band of men whose hearts God had touched. And I asked God this afternoon, I said, Lord, give me a band of men at this conference whose hearts God has touched. Because when God touches my heart, I'll be a better daddy. When God touches my heart, I'll be a better husband. When God touches my heart, I'll be a better provider. When I get right, the children get right. The family gets right. The marriage gets. So I want to be a part of a band of men this week whose hearts God has touched. When God touches my heart, I see my own carnality. When God touches my heart, I see my own compromises. When God touches my heart, how long has it been, sir, since God touched your heart? How many of you would like to be a member of a band or a group of men whose heart this weekend God has touched? For your children, for your wife, for your family, for your marriage. Let me see your hand. Raise it high. That's powerful. Raise that hand and say, I'm joining the band of men whose hearts God has touched. Now lay your other hand on your heart. Raise the other one up toward heaven and say, Lord, I surrender my life completely to you. I admit my own weakness. I cannot do this without you. I cannot make this marriage what it ought to be. I cannot make this family what it ought to be. I cannot raise these children and be the dad I ought to be. So touch my heart tonight. Touch my heart and make my words tender. Touch my heart and make my attitude right. Touch my heart and make me a broken vessel again. Touch my heart, oh God, and give me a fresh, renewed love for my wife. Touch my heart, God. I want to be a part of the band of men whose hearts God has touched. In Jesus' name. I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app. Or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.